Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the WEEI studios.
Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
The home of the Red Sox. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey station.
This hour of the Fitzy and Hart Show is sponsored by our friends at Eagle Bank.
One can't help but be positive.
Cam Newton!
The other can't help but be negative.
Bleep you, you bleeping bleepity bleep.
The only thing they seem to agree on is that they can barely agree on anything.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm Andy Hart. I'm not happy about this.
It's sports radio for the passionate fan.
What's up, Nick?
And grumpy dad in all of us.
That is just so stupid.
Fitzy and Hart.
Yes, I've been listening, Andy.
On Boston Sports Original.
I like the way Andy Hart does it.
Might have Nick just take over.
WEEI.
All right, Brian Barrett and Kyrie Thompson in for Andy. Fitzy is here. So a lot on the table, a lot of meat on the bone. It's a Saturday afternoon. So if you want to weigh in on what Chaim Bloom should be doing at the trading deadline, that's on the table. We had a Gronk Edelman debate earlier. Who's more important to the second dynasty?
And got what do zesty.
You, yeah, it did. It did. Went at it a little bit. And what do you want to see the Patriots do offensively? Do you want to see changes to the offense? 617-779-7937. So I want to run this one by you guys because last year, Belichick got a lot of credit for his offseason. Obviously, the Mack pick, the Barmore pick, Judon, not so much credit for Jonnu Smith, but Hunter Henry was really good, and Kendrick Bourne was a really good signing for this team, especially considering he got 3 years and $15 million. Actually, that may be a guy that they may want to consider going to soon and be like, hey, maybe an extension, because he's still relatively young. He's going into his 27-year-old season. But one of the things that jumped off the page to me last year is if you look at some of his numbers, 7.1 yak per reception. That was seventh in the NFL. Jacoby Myers, to do the comparison, was at 3 yak per reception. That was 117th. Jacoby Myers was targeted 126 times. Bourne was targeted 70 times, so 56 less times. So Myers was targeted 22nd in the NFL the most, and Bourne was way down on that list at 79th. The other thing is Bourne, when targeted, 132.1 rating, which was fifth in the NFL. Myers was at 81, 182nd. So you look at all the yards per reception, Bourne's at 14.6, Myers is at 10.4. So I come back to, okay, well, now this year, like, I get it, Myers was the guy that had been in the Patriots system. But my hope would be that Bourne is involved at least as much as Myers, and maybe more, because clearly he's the more dynamic player when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, and you know what? With that, you know, another number that comes to my mind is like a little chart that was put together that showed that Kendrick Bourne had like almost 20% of his targets, you know, or 20% of his touches went for big plays, being 20-plus yards.
Wow.
Like that's fifth in the NFL. That was monstrous. And again, this was a guy that when he was signed, I remember everybody being like, him and Jacoby Myers are basically the same player. Like why would you sign both of them? And seriously, all I had to do was just pull up a couple of highlights of Kendrick Bourne and be like, oh no, this dude's different. Like the way the way that he runs after the catch, the way he finishes, and the way that he looks when he's got the ball in space, like, no. That is a different dude. And he showed it last year. And I think that with him, now that you've got Devontae Parker, assuming he can stay healthy. Like, you can, Kendrick Bourne is a guy you should be moving around your formation. He can actually be something of like your Z receiver now. He goes in motion. He can go across the formation. He can line up in the slot and do whatever you want. Like, you have a bunch of guys who can potentially do that, who can line up in the slot. But he's potentially your most versatile offensive piece on the outside. I mean, he might be your most versatile offensive piece, period.
I think he is.
So, yes, you should absolutely be moving him around and getting him the ball in however many ways that is. Whether you're talking about end arounds, which is something I think we're going to talk about in a little bit, screens, RPOs. If you want to have somebody be an RPO guy, an RPO bubble screen or an RPO slant, I want Kendrick Bourne to be that guy.
I want to see him get the ball everywhere. I'll be honest, when he signed as part of the uncharacteristically aggressive free agent of Palooza over those 36 hours, he was the only guy when they signed him, I said, who? I just wasn't familiar with his body of work. Didn't know anything about him. Hadn't really heard of him during the San Francisco years. I think I, like many, was still not over the whole why didn't we get Debo, N'Keal Harry trauma. But here comes this guy from San Francisco. You do a quick deep dive on him. Like, oh, this guy's got a great catch rate. Oh, wow. Okay, a little bit of a hands issue, but he's amazing inside the red zone. Something we didn't see the Patriots do enough with him last year. And as you watched him evolve over the course of the year, first we'll just sort of throw it out there, love the glue guys, love the big team rah-rah guys. He cracks the Belichick code, makes his coach laugh. Everyone on the team loves him, so you've got that aspect down. But then everywhere they got him the ball, he was effective. They just didn't throw it to him enough, like you've been saying for months, Barrett. I couldn't agree with you more. That catch against Cleveland, that touchdown, the 30-yarder that he went up over two cornerbacks and got, an incredible catch. The bomb that he got in the Dallas game that brought them back after Mack had just thrown the pick six to Diggs. And then, of course, he's probably the only guy, save for Hunter Henry, who showed up in the Buffalo door-blowing-off playoff game. He got those two touchdown passes and actually played so well, he had a sex object thrown at him in the end zone. So it's nice to see that he got the Buffalo salute as well. But he can make plays
everywhere in the formation. He actually showed up.
Mm-hmm. And he just didn't, I don't, maybe this goes back into the whole, like, they kept the reins on Mac too tightly and didn't open up the playbook. Maybe this is, as things get simplified and they open things up more, you'll see the full breadth of his potential. And I, like everybody else, would love to see, as we talk about the Shanahanian concepts, I would love to see them give him, pitch it to him, run a jet sweep with him, give him a direct handoff, see what he can do, because he's fluid and he's quick and he's a smart guy. He seems to me like he has really good football instincts on top of it.
You know, I think that some of it was a personnel issue, and I've gone back to this a couple of times in terms of writing. If N'Keal Harry had not been an utter and complete waste of space, and had he...
Other than that, he was good, though.
Yeah. Right. Or like, also, if he hadn't gotten hurt to start the season, right? That, I feel like, really hamstrung them from a personnel standpoint, because he would have been in your Devontae Parker, you know, ex-receiver role, where he's out there, right. And even if he's just blocking or you occasionally throw him the football or whatever, but not having that guy meant that Nelson Agholor now had to be that guy. And that's not his role.
Right.
And I think one of the sneaky things about being down there at practice that I feel like not a lot of people have talked about quite as much is that simply having Devontae Parker on the field has meant that Nelson Agholor is moving around a lot. And he's getting the ball, you know, in run after catch situations, and he looks good. That is absolutely something they should be doing with Nelson Agholor. And there's like this cascade effect where, yeah, it's a bunch of number twos, right, on this team. At the same time, the whole, I feel like, can be greater than the sum of its parts here if things can stay healthy. And so, yes, you could see a better Nelson Agholor this year. You could see, I mean, Kendrick Bourne had a career best year with 800 yards. I mean, this is kind of like a spread it around kind of offense as opposed to one guy's going to have like 1,200 yards. But you might see a more effective, bigger play Kendrick Bourne just because now you have another guy that's actually here to not put you out of position.
It's so nice to hear a voice of football and Patriot reason in the room because I have talked
Chimes
about...
here?
It's opposites day here on WEEI. It's IEEW. I can't tell you how many times I have said, whether it's on the podcast, here on the radio station, and just had it thrown back in my face, yeah, but they don't have a There's no true number one. Who's the dynamic threat? Who do the defensive play callers have to stay up at night trying to scheme for? I want elite talent. I want playmakers. I want Devontae Adams. I want this guy. I want that guy.
It's true. Yeah, of course. Okay. Of course you want them.
You would always want those. But you just said it. The Patriots, like, in having a lot of number twos, they have a, like, a, I call them a complement of receivers because they have a it's bunch of guys that can do different things and do them well. Are they an absolute best at it? No. But the Patriots may have a complete wide receiver room this year. There's depth in the wide receiver room. And, you know, it's probably easy too, but at the same time, I think it's kind of sound that you blame N'Keal Harry because they never had that big guy on the outside. Now, with Devontae Parker stepping in, like you said, the deficit of talent last year in the wide receiver room, Aguilar can do things differently that he's set to do. You can have, you can deploy Kendrick Bourne, hopefully, all over the formation in different ways as well. I don't even know how much we're really going to see from Tyquan Thornton this year, but
I think you'll see him a little.
A little bit?
I mean, he...
In a gimmicky sort of, like, let's use
probably,
his... Deploy and, the speed type
and
of thing?
I mean, I talked to Damian Parson from the Draft Network about this, national scout. And basically, he called Tyquan a designated deep threat, where basically, when it's time to come on for a shot play, when it's midfield or you're at your own 40 and you want teams to think about it, you'll put him on the field. And that might at least open something up for someone else. Because I'll tell you this, Tyquan, like... They've kind of kept him a little bit, like, you know, under wraps a little, but he caught everything thrown his way in spring practice. He had a couple rookie moments where he ran the wrong route, but generally, I mean, he's open, and that speed, when he gets it going, he had one deep ball where, you know, he made Miles Bryant and literally everyone else in his general vicinity look like they were taking a Sunday stroll. I've never seen anything like that on a football field.
You've never seen speed like that?
The speed is hilarious. It actually made me laugh in the moment.
And we haven't even mentioned Jacoby Myers and someone who's generated some nice early pre-camp buzz, Trey Nixon, who actually, you know, may be giving himself a chance to make the team this year. But I think, do we have time to play this audio, the Kendrick Bourne
we'll
on
do
the
it. We'll do it in a little bit.
A little bit? Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say, too, just real quickly, is I remember Bucky Brooks used to say this, like, I probably still says it, I just haven't heard him say it in a while, but, like, you want to build your receiving core sort of like a basketball team where you don't just want, like, all small forwards or all point guards. You want guys that can do different things, and it does feel like they're closer to that now, right? Like, Bourne is a yak monster. Jacoby Myers is more of a chain mover. You look at Devontae Parker, can play outside. You now have like a contested catch guy that you can throw the ball up to. We know what Henry can do in the seam and in the red zone. So it does feel like, even though they don't have sort of that, like they always had the Moss or the Gronk, right? Like the guy that you're game planning for. You may not have that guy, but it
and
does.
And Edelman Welker, too.
Yes, but it does feel like you have a lot of different pieces now, and you have a lot of sort of diversity in the offense compared to where you were last year and definitely 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, look, even if you got a team full of number twos, right, unless your team has a stable full of elite corners and stuff like that, there's going to be a matchup for you there somewhere.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be open.
All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett, Kyrie Thompson, in for Andy Hart. Fitzy is here. We're with you up until first pitch of the – or excuse me, up until Red Sox pregame at 5:10. 617-779-7937, the number. So it does feel like we're a little bit more optimistic than most on the Patriots offense. So we'll continue to address that. What changes do you think you want to see this team make? 617-779-7937, the number, with you right here on EEI.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the warm weather is here, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey is saying, screw it, let's shoot it. Lick the salt, shoot the screwball, and finish it with an orange slice. Lick it, shoot it, screw it. Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, please enjoy responsibly. Trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Sox beat the Guardians 6-3 on Friday night. Nick Pivetta picked up the win. He went 7 innings. He gave up just 2 earned. Rafael Devers, Christian Arroyo, each with home runs. The Sox and the Guardians play the second of their 3-game set tonight in Cleveland. 6:10 first pitch across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Network. You can tune in to the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 5:10 with yours truly. It's sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Josh Winkowski gets the ball on that one. He's opposite Shane Bieber. College World Series tonight, Ole Miss in Oklahoma. You can catch that one over on AM 850. First pitch at 7. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports Jimmy Garoppolo remains on schedule in his recovery from surgery on his shoulder and his timetable for throwing. John Lynch has said he expects Garoppolo to be healthy enough to throw in early July. Where's Garoppolo going to end up? Is he just going to be the starter for the Niners? Or are they going to have to trade it? He's going to start?
Where's he going to go?
Where's Trey Lance ready?
No.
I mean, even if he's not ready, I feel like you play him anyway.
Yeah, this. I mean, you gave up like three first-round picks for the guy.
They should have taken the. You know the story. They should have taken Mac. They wanted Mac in Shanahan.
And they got shamed. They got shamed out of it.
They got. He did. He got shamed out of it by his scouts because there was too much talent.
If Mac Jones had been picked by the 49ers, he would have started week one.
And does he make the throw? Does he help them lead the final drive against the Rams? Did Mac Jones go to the Super Bowl last year?
I don't know about
617-779-7937. All right, that's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, we're right back to it. Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
I want to have some touchdowns rushing. I don't know how many. I'm not going to say a number, but I should have had some rushing touchdowns last year. And I was disappointed in watching my film on certain runs that I could have finished better and did things better. Receiving is dope. I've been doing that all my life. But to rush the ball, get it handed off to me was something new and something I'm still learning, embracing, and want to improve on a lot more because I can, you know, help the team with those kind of runs and reverses and certain things. So just improving my run game and finishing with touchdowns, man, is one of the biggest goals for me next year.
Do you see yourself? I know everybody's their own player, but you see yourself in a little bit of that Debo role?
Yeah, a little hybrid. Yeah, I do, man. I've been, you know, because honestly, just making plays. You know, when I get the ball, I want to make a play. I want to make a positive play. And if they want to give me the ball, I need to make a play so he can give me the ball again. So, I definitely see myself as a hybrid.
All right, that was Kendrick Bourne on the Stacking the Box podcast. Correct, Fitzy? I have that correct?
That is correct, sir. I discovered that last night while putting together the Sunday 7, which will be published tomorrow on WEEI.com in Andy Hart's absence. I was looking for something.
Don't get Wally pipped, Andy.
Hey, watch out. I'm upping my exclamation point quota just so I can be more like Andy.
He does love those, doesn't he?
Someone literally said to me last night, I was on the South Shore before a fundraiser that I hosted. I was having a beer at Widowmaker, the brewery in my hometown of Braintree. And I was talking to a buddy, and they said, how come he uses so many exclamation points in his articles? And then Bradfo said to me earlier today, I got to talk to Andy about not using exclamation points in his headlines. Apparently, now we have a new nickname for Andy, the exclamation guy.
He is intense, you know.
He's intense.
He likes
to make little short little bits of emphasis. But I just was Googling about for Kendrick Bourne stuff because I wanted to do a little something about his value on the contract, that he's one of the best 32 deals in the NFL right now. And I would like to see him be utilized more, as we were just discussing. And wouldn't you know, I find this random clip on YouTube that was posted 10 days ago from a podcast I hadn't heard of or listened to prior to, where Bourne was actually saying he wouldn't mind being deployed in that sort of Debo Samuel-esque role, or at least as a hybrid. Last time the Patriots did that with somebody, it was 2018. You guys remember who it was?
Not entirely. I wasn't here. I wasn't really here at that point.
Cordarrelle
Patterson. Patterson.
Remember that?
Patterson.
Remember the Patriots had no running backs. Crap, we actually have to use you. And he was good.
Yeah.
And now look what he's turned into with the Falcons as he's moved
He's a
on.
Legit running back.
A legit weapon. Yeah, he's an OW.
Well, it's funny because, you know, he went from the Patriots to the Bears then. So I'm, you know, I'm a Bears fan, you know, being from the Chicagoland area.
First of all,
I know. Thank you. I appreciate it.
T's and P's.
But yeah, it's funny because they tried to use him that way, but they were bad at it.
Yes.
Right? And then he goes to Atlanta and he's amazing.
Dynamite.
Right? And so it just kind of like, after all those years, I felt like Minnesota would kind of tinker with it every now and again as a receiver and a returner and like, oh yeah, maybe you'll get a handoff here and there. But they never really tapped into that. And it's like using Cordarrelle Patterson in a ton of different ways and even a little bit more out of the backfield than as a receiver, like that is so much more valuable than simply using him in one way. Like for some people, like, you know, watching Devin Hester back in the day.
Yeah.
Using him too much as a wide receiver kind of took away from the return ability a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that was a little bit unfortunate. But yeah, for Cordarrelle Patterson, absolutely do that more often because he's
why
awesome
not?
At it.
You, if you're yeah. like, why do people have to like meat and potatoes their offense, if you will? Like, why do they have to, you know, like, oh, you're a wide receiver. You run to these places and I will throw you the football. Deploy people when they have skills, talent, speed, like Kendrick Bourne does, in a multitude of ways. Be creative. Belichick, if anything, has always been an innovator, watches what other people are doing and brings it into his fold. If he's seen something like that used successfully before and he's got a guy like Bourne that's willing to do it.
Well, and it does feel like, Kyrie, you're down there, obviously, so at the practices and whatnot. And we gave you some of the numbers in terms of, like, the advanced numbers that look really good on Kendrick Bourne's behalf. But, like, when you're down there, does it look like now Kendrick Bourne is more sort of a focal point of the offense compared to, obviously, last year's first year here? But does it feel like they're going to dig into Kendrick Bourne more than they did a year ago?
Well, it's interesting because we only got to see 4 practices overall. So it was like 2 OTAs and 2 minicamp days, and they canceled the rest. And Kendrick Bourne didn't participate in each of them. Mm. So we didn't get to see as much. So I don't know that I would feel I could tell you one way or another. But I mean, yeah, I would tell you that, you know, Kendrick Bourne is clearly a bit more ingratiated into this system. And I mean, he looks more confident out there. He looks like, you know, he is, you know, Max looking for him. And it's been interesting, too, because Mac Jones targeted Jacoby Myers so much last year. Like, people talk about, oh, yeah, Mac Jones needs a binky. Jacoby Myers was his binky. That was a security blanket.
Yep.
He already got one, right? And then when, you know, it wasn't Jacoby Myers, it was Hunter Henry. But Jacoby Myers wasn't practicing for a lot of that time that we were out there. Like, he would participate in drills, but he didn't participate in the team segments and things like that. And so you saw more Kendrick Bourne. You saw more Trey Nixon. And stuff like that, kind of filling in more Nelson Agholor as well. So, I mean, I would think that, yes, after seeing the revelation that Kendrick Bourne was last year, I mean, yeah, Jacoby Myers was, you know, he led the team in receiving on, what, 50-plus more targets.
Right.
Kendrick Bourne was actually your best receiver mm-hmm. and quite arguably your best offensive player last year. So, yeah, they are going to find ways to get him the ball. And I think that it should come along the lines of what we're talking about. More carries, more quick stuff that utilizes his ability to get moving. I do also want to talk a little bit about the Belichick as an innovator thing, because I do think it is going to play a bit into potentially how this offense changes. What Matt Patricia has been doing with the offensive line and what they've been doing in their running game. I mean, obviously they don't have pads on, so they're not really running the football, mm-hmm. but you're seeing a lot of those stretch plays and, you know, outside runs and things like that. Who did Matt Patricia bring in with him when he was the head coach of Detroit after kind of that disastrous first season? Matt Patricia brought in Darrell Bevell, who is kind of viewed as like
from Seattle, right?
Yeah.
He's the guy who called the greatest play of all time.
Hey, right. he is indeed that he is. And so he's thought of as like kind of a Holmgren guy, but you look at Marshawn Lynch on Pro Football Focus, he had the most outside zone carries of like anybody in the league for like 3 or 4 years running. They were spamming outside zone so hard with him. And so I have to think that what we've been seeing so far, I mean, again, maybe they won't transition fully to a Shanahan concept, you know, or a McVay concept, right? But that's something that is now being brought in from the outside. Belichick has admired teams for running schemes like that. He's seen Matt Ryan go to a Super Bowl with that, and Jimmy G go to a Super Bowl running that kind of thing, and Jared Goff go to a Super Bowl with that. Guys
right.
that are mm-hmm. kind of approximate the skill set of his current quarterback.
Yeah, so what's interesting to me about that is this whole offseason, basically the biggest storyline has been, how is Matt Patricia or Joe Judge going to call plays? They have no experience doing that. But what I'm hearing from you about that from like a philosophical standpoint or from just changing some of the offense it would actually feel like more of a positive thing that they're actually bringing some different things into the offense. Now, I'm not saying I trust Matt Patricia or completely trust
Joe
Judge.
Don't get it twisted on that. I am not telling you to be confident about Matt Patricia.
Right.
I'm not.
Right. But my point is that I do feel better about the fact that we're hearing and you're observing that there are actually, it looks like there is going to be some legitimate changes to what they're doing philosophically, offensively. And we already heard like Bill talking about the terminology and all that, but maybe they will dig into some of the stuff that they didn't really do last year. Maybe part of that was they're still building an offense, not knowing who's going to be the quarterback to start the year. Is it going to be Cam? Is it going to be Mac? They don't want to completely change the system after Cam had been in it for a year and then change everything again. So maybe this was just the perfect time to kind of dig into that, some of the new stuff. The other thing, and not to circle completely back to it, but I would really like to know why they won't incorporate more RPOs into the offense. Like, that to me is something. Mac Jones completed 28 of his 32 attempts out of RPOs last season. Obviously, we know that Mac's really good as like a quick decision maker. When he's getting the ball out quickly, he was really efficient last year. So I am wondering if they'll at least utilize some of that, because that's like what made Mac a great at the collegiate level. 19% of his passes were out of RPOs. Last year, he threw 32 the entire season.
Yeah. You're
right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like part of it has to be, okay, well, Tom Brady's not here anymore. Cam Newton's not here anymore. We drafted a kid with the 15th overall pick. This is what he's really good at, RPOs, play at, like, he's good at these things. So why wouldn't we use him more? That's the thing that was kind of perplexing to me. Like, why don't you change things when you have a new quarterback?
And you know, that's an interesting point because, again, I have not seen the Patriots playbook, but you wonder how much of that stuff is in there, because they probably are never running that with Tom Brady.
Right.
Exactly. And so probably it's like, we don't really have that, so maybe we put it in, but it's not really what we do. You know, at the same time, I think I saw something like Mike Giardi tweeted out from NFL Network that like Mac Jones completed like more than 70% of his passes when it took less than 2 seconds or like less than 2.5 seconds. He is all about the quick game. He's very good at it in a way that none of those other quarterbacks that were taken ahead of him were, at least last year. Right. You got the big game hunters like, you know, like a Justin Fields, who thrived on, oh, yeah, let me hold on to the ball for a really long time and fit it into this window down the field. Mac Jones is all about, hey, like, I'll dice you up like, you know, really quickly because I know what I'm looking for. That's his biggest strength. So, yeah, I would think that, this is just my guess, that they just don't have that kind of stuff in the playbook. And again, I think that maybe they might use what they do have a bit more this year because they have the opportunity to, because this offense is going to be different. As you said, this is the perfect time to make adjustments because it's not too late in Mac Jones's career. It's still plenty early. You've got a new play caller. Things are going to shift. So why not start incorporating some things that he might be a bit more comfortable with?
Yeah, and I have those numbers for you. So Mac, less than 2.5 seconds, 73.3% in terms of his completion percentage. Rating was 96.6. More than 2.5 seconds, 60.3 completion percentage, 87.1 rating. So it drops off dramatically. So he's not like Joe Burrow's one of these guys that's actually better, like the longer he has the ball. Mm-hmm. Not many quarterbacks are like made that way. Most are more like Mac, right? Like even a guy like Brady. But Joe Burrow's one of those guys that likes to do like the Favre thing and he can extend plays. Matt Stafford can do it a little bit too. But Mac's really good when he makes quick decisions. So it would feel like, okay, let's start to dig into Mac and some of his strengths. I hope they do it. I'm feeling a little bit more optimistic today after talking to Kyrie about this that, okay, maybe they will dig into some of this stuff. So I'm hopeful they do it because I just feel like there's a lot more meat on the bone with Mac than, well, I shouldn't say that because he's actually lost weight. But you get my point. Like, there's a lot more to his skill set that they didn't dig into last year. And hoping now, when this is more of his team now, so to speak, than last year, he went in, it's a competition. Now he's going to be a leader of the team. I mean, it'd be shocking if he's not a captain, right? Second year quarterback.
Mac Jones? Absolutely.
Yeah, he's 1,000% going to be a captain this year. I mean, you look at the way that this offense revolves around him, the way that he, like, for example, there are times when during, you know, the opening drills of practice, like he's, you know, doing throws and stuff like that with the quarterbacks, but then he goes and disappears and goes off to the offensive line while they're hitting the sled. He's simulating taking a snap and giving them the count so that they can go forward and hit the sled on his cue. He is absolutely angling for that leadership role. And I think this is very clearly his offense and very clearly his team. to your point about, you know, getting Mac, you know, to you know, delve into more of his skill set, the deep balls that I've seen so far in, you know, during spring indicate that he has gotten a little bit better at it. He's putting more work in. He is becoming more aggressive. He is being like, you know what? I'm going to take this shot. I'm going to try to put it up there in a window where maybe Jonnu Smith isn't quite open. And 2 days in a row, Jonnu Smith goes up over like Kyle Duggar or Adrian Phillips and hauls down an amazing catch. Or you know what? Yeah, Nelson Aguilar's kind of covered. Don't care. Throwing it anyway. Trey Nixon literally has Jonathan Jones hanging off his body. I'm going to throw it to him anyway, and it's going to be a dot. So you're seeing those kinds of things from him. I also think, as kind of a last point on him in the short term, he left plays on the field too. He didn't take advantage of some of his own things. He's not a great runner. You don't want to call design runs for Mac Jones.
No.
And you don't want to see him running all the time, but he's a better runner than people have been kind of painting him as. He's not Jared Goff. He's not Jimmy G.
Would it be maybe Burrow-esque? Like Joe Burrow's not a great runner, but at the same time, he's not a 350 yards rushing. Like, it's not the way Russell Wilson used to, but like, he would be effective in snagging some first downs.
Yes. So there were plays, and I saw this in the last Dolphins game, where he opted to throw a ball on the run to Nelson Aguilar, who was covered, when he clearly could have picked up 12 to 15 yards.
I remember that play.
He had it wide open. He just had defensive linemen. He proved in the Buffalo game he can outrun a defensive lineman. And the thing is, the linebackers and the defensive backs aren't paying attention to him because they're like, well, he's not going to run. He's going to throw it. It's easy money. And I feel like he needs to take the easy money more often this year.
Yeah, and I do wonder, too, like part of it, you mentioned the fact that last year he may have left some plays on the field. I'm wondering if he didn't make certain throws at times because it was so programmed into him as a young quarterback. Like,
oh, I absolutely think so.
Don't screw it up.
I absolutely think so.
Tight reins, yes.
So now it's like, okay, year two, my offense, let's start getting this going. Let's take some shots. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's mix in a couple of you guys. Let's get to Kelly and Amherst. Kelly, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, three of my favorites. You guys are all sounding great today. Listen, I do hope the Patriots open up a little bit more next year, but I did not feel like they were handcuffing Mac or that they should have opened up too much. I'll tell you real quick, I remember many years ago, I was a little kid playing fantasy football. Me and my dad drafted Peyton Manning, and this guy's talking about, oh, Peyton Manning sucks. Ryan Leaf is going to be the real stud. Now, we know what happened with Ryan Leaf. He had the biggest meltdown of all time. I wonder if Belichick worries about stuff like that sometimes. And what I'm bringing up Leaf to say is, if he hadn't had that meltdown, like, do you really think he wouldn't have been able to play at all? You know, like, I think if he'd have been able to manage the stress of coming into the league, he could have at least been a middling quarterback. So I think Belichick's looking at the same thing with Cam, like, the way that media is so on people, not you guys, but, you know, Twitter, whatever, is so negative. You make one mistake, they're going to tear you up. I think Bill was really protecting Mac a little bit.
I disagree. I don't think Bill was concerned about what the media thought about Mac.
It's tough to say, man. We're both trying to read his mind, and obviously neither one of us can do that. But I do think this. You mentioned a stat about second down, and you were saying that on second down, they only went for it 14 times when it was 3 yards less. I appreciate that in the NFL, typically that's a go-for-it down. I think if you watch a lot of Belichick, though, you'll find he rarely does that. He's more apt to go ahead and take the first down and then go for it a little further. So, you know, there's a lot to digest, but I do hope they open up a little more next year.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Kelly, but my whole point in that would be in terms of the reason I give out the second and short stat is because that would be the play to throw it. If you pick up the first down running the ball, it makes it more difficult to take that shot on first and 10 than it would second and first to third. That's my point. And I also don't think that Bill does anything with his players. Like, I don't think Bill didn't want Mac to be aggressive because of what the media would have thought about him. And I didn't understand the Leaf comparison. Did you get the Leaf comparison?
No, Ryan Leaf is one of the great flameouts, but there have been plenty of other first-round flameouts as well. Yeah, he had a
serious problem.
He had
major issues. You could go to Jamarcus Russell, Heath Shuler, any number of other, you know, or Rick Meyer. He was all right-ish, I guess. Any other number of early first-round flameouts at the quarterback position. I guess Ryan Leaf is just a default.
I guess my point is, I don't think that Bill looked at Ryan Leaf's career and said, hey, I don't want Mac to turn into Ryan Leaf. I think he said, I took this guy 15th overall. I believe he's going to be my next great quarterback. I don't think Ryan Leaf came into the equation at all, or any flame out guy. I think Bill judged Mac on who Mac is. He didn't compare him to other players.
No, I don't think so at all. And the thing is, like, you know, if he didn't, if he was that concerned about Mac Jones, he wouldn't have played him.
Right.
Like
he would have played Cam.
He would have redshirted.
He would have redshirted. He would have had Cam. Like, do you? I just feel like, and again, I cannot speak for everyone out there, right? But you see how many coaches out there would rather have just played the veteran in that situation than started the rookie. Bill Belichick literally just looked at what he had and said, you know what? Mac played better. I'm going to start him. You know, maybe economics played into that as well. But basically, it's just like he played well enough to where he's not going to embarrass himself. He's a better value. And we're going to be fine. And I'm going to go ahead and play him. Now, maybe, and I do think that to an extent, right, he did shield, like, they you know, made him difficult to grab at times, like, from a media standpoint.
But
it's like, in terms of play, like, yeah, maybe they kind of hammered it in, like, yeah, like, you know, don't be a hero. Like, just make the plays, do what you're doing, and, like, just distribute the ball. Don't try to go for home runs or do anything you're not capable of. But look, man, like, we saw plenty of rookie quarterbacks last year, like, just not get a chance to play right away. I mean, we're still waiting on Trey Lance.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? And Justin Fields.
Don't hold your breath.
Like, yeah, and the thing is, like, Justin Fields, as a Chicago guy, there's no reason they should have played Andy Dalton instead of Justin Fields, no matter how not ready Justin Fields might have been.
Right.
But I found it so refreshing that they were basically just like, you know what? Mac's ready enough. Play him. Boom. Get that nipped in the bud. He'll learn on the job. And they went to the playoffs with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 617-779-7937, the number, with you all the way up until Red Sox pregame at 5:10. It's a good point, because even like Deshaun Watson, who had won a national championship, this is obviously years ago, Bill O'Brien, I was in Houston at the time, he didn't start him to begin the season. He started Savage for the first half, and then he's like, oh yeah, this guy sucks. So then Deshaun Watson, he took the job over in the second half of the first game. It's like, you could have just done that at the beginning.
From the beginning. Well,
How was he not apparently good enough? He just went toe-to-toe with Alabama.
Right.
Two straight national championships, and the guy has proven to be one of the best quarterbacks.
I do get it. And like, you don't want to ruin your quarterbacks, but look, man, if a guy's ready to play, it's time to play.
Yeah.
I know, but in Houston, that's the ultimate example, though, of how you ruin a quarterback, because the other car was just absolutely driven into the ground and ruined well before he even had a chance to develop into whatever he could have developed into.
All right, 617-779-7937, the number, with you up until 5:10. So if you do want to weigh in this, do you expect changes for the Patriots offense? And I do want to address one of the big free agent ticket items from 2 years ago, Jonnu Smith. Is he a lost cause, or can they get something out of him next year? We'll get to it next here on EEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WEEI. We are right back to Fitzy and Hart.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, Brian Barrett and Kyrie Thompson in for Andy Hart. Fitzy is here, per usual, taking you all the way up until Red Sox pregame at 5:10. 617-779-7937. Talking a little Patriots right now. Still a couple of months away, but we're getting closer, man. At least we have a baseball season. The Red Sox are good.
Which helps. The Red Sox have done a great job in both, I won't say putting a balm or salve over the wound of the Celtics getting bumped in six so unceremoniously after having a 2-1 lead, but the Red Sox picked the perfect time to crank it up and start playing better baseball. But as far as the Patriots go, like, we are, from today, 32 days away from the opening of training camp. It's July 27th, if I am correct, Mr.
Thompson?
Believe
so, yep.
Yep, mm-hmm. Okay. So you get July 27th for the official opening of training camp. And then after that, we're talking 30 for like, we're like 80-some-odd days away from NFL football. Like, the countdown is on. I mean, I always think, like, the first day of summer, back-to-school shopping has already happened. Halloween candy is going to hit the shelves, and football's right around the corner.
All right, well, I don't want to think about Halloween yet. I mean, come on. We're just in this. I enjoy the summer. I don't want
so
to
do
think
I.
about Halloween.
I guarantee you within 2 weeks.
Not a big Halloween guy either.
Of course you're not. Doesn't like music.
I mean,
doesn't
I'm,
go swimming.
I'm typically
like
not
Halloween.
A huge Halloween person either. But again, you know, being the father of a 2.5-year-old, I have to be into Halloween.
Yeah.
Because we have to think about, oh, what are we going to dress her in?
Right.
You know, and so that, well, then what are we going
to
do?
That conversation starts like a good 2 months before Halloween. The kids look forward to it like all year. And I got two boys under the age of 10. My house is nothing but just like mini versions of every kid, like nerd ropes and Snickers and everything else. Like, sorry, it's just the way it is. But I guarantee you within 2 weeks, you'll see Halloween candy on the shelves. Trust me.
All right, well, it's like 85 degrees out today. I don't want to be thinking about Halloween. 617-779-7937. Let's get to, speaking of 85 degrees, Steve is in Miami. Steve, how are you?
Actually, it's pouring out here.
Oh,
so, hey.
We got a scorcher up here, Stevie.
It feels more like Halloween here than it does up there, I'm sure. And there's enough people on the streets that look like Halloween. No, oh, I'm only kidding. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
We're doing well. What's going on?
Okay, a couple of things. First, I appreciate what David Andrews did. You know, I think that was great. It's been done with other Patriots and players in the past. My question is, and then I have another one. My question is, why does Bill Belichick wait till all free agents are gone and all that? Why isn't it done at the very beginning of the free agency period and all that to restructure a contract instead of waiting when everybody's gone and all that? And secondly, about that is, why didn't he try to restructure Shaq Mason?
There has to have been some sort of organizational belief that Shaq Mason's best days were behind him, Kyrie. Otherwise, why would they move on from the guy that was the highest rated Patriot according to Pro Football Focus last year?
So we actually had this brought up on the show the other day. You want to know who is actually the highest rated Patriot?
Who's that?
Michael Onwenu.
Ah.
The guy who has now taken Shaq Mason's place. They are literally like a 0.1 difference. They were right next to each other. But ultimately, I think that is probably the reason. If you think you can get something approximating Shaq Mason's play out of Michael Onwenu for like a seventh of the price, because you think about it, Shaq Mason is slated to make like base salary of like $6.5 million, and Michael Onwenu is going to make like $895K. So if you think you can get a better value and similar enough play, I mean, that is the quintessential Patriots move right there.
So
is
it
not?
Ridiculous.
Is it not?
It
and
is.
On the other side of things, like losing Ted Karras is rough, right? But then you draft Cole Strange and you say, okay, by the end of the year, hopefully this levels out to where our offensive line is more or less the same as it was last year, and you save like $12 million of cap space.
Okay, I get you. I mean, the only thing about Shaq Mason, I think they could have done better than a fifth-round pick, but that's what he does. I mean, in the past, he's traded top-notch players that were possibly on their way out.
All right, Steve, what was your other point?
Middle forward. The other thing is there's a few players that are playing on their last years. The running back.
Damian Harris is in his fourth and final year.
And all that. What do you think is going to happen to players like that? Are they going to, is Bill going to play rough with them, or do you think that there's a contract possibility for him as well as for the wide receiver?
Yeah, right, Jacoby Myers. Yeah.
Appreciate
Myers,
the call.
Yes. We'll see about Myers. I think there's a better chance of sticking around more than Damian.
Agreed,
Harris.
Because I think running backs, you've more or less shown you don't pay running backs.
They just took the body types of both running backs they have. Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong Jr.
And you have Ramondre Stevenson. Right. Yeah.
Ninkovich said is going to finish as a top five back this year.
So I mean, and again, it's like I really
he
like.
He was second in broken tackles per attempt a beast.
He's so elusive.
And you're over here talking about like Matt Patricia bringing in Daryl Bevel to teach him some of the outside. outside zone concepts that they were using in Seattle, where Marshawn Lynch was an outside zone monster. And here, the monster is literally going to probably turn into beast mode 2.
Listen,
we were calling him Baby Blunt. No, we should probably be calling him Baby Beast
Mode. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I've literally spent the last year since Ramondre Stevenson was drafted calling him Baby Beast.
Come on.
No, you got
the
you
show
gotta,
was meant to be.
No, I'm dead serious because, and again, like, yeah, no, I see why people kind of, you know, jump to Blunt because, I mean, he's here, right?
Right. It was obvious.
But when you watch Ramondre Stevenson run, his footwork, the way that he moves in space reminds me so much more of Marshawn Lynch.
And I would just say this, too. Like, we're talking about some of the changes, Kyrie, that could be made to the offense. One of the things that I would point out is Ramondre Stevenson, when they threw him the ball, it feels like he has good hands. Like, better, obviously, than Damian Harris.
Harris can also catch, too. Let's not make it seem like he's got Daniel Graham's
hands. He doesn't have stone hands, but if you want to look at a guy who's got a better chance of becoming a complete back, I'm taking Stevenson.
Well, and that's my point, too. Like, okay, with Brady, it felt like all these years you needed to have that definitive role with the third down back, like the James White role, the Shane Vereen role, the Danny Woodhead role. Maybe with this offense, with a quarterback entering year two, you should be a little bit more not as predictable, and throwing the ball to a guy like Ramondre Stevenson more may actually help you when it comes to that. Rather than, remember last year, it's like, okay, it's third down. That means Brandon Bolden has to play. Why does Brandon Bolden have to play? Like, let Ramondre Stevenson play.
Well, with that, I think that my guess is they didn't trust those guys in blitz pickup.
That's a good point.
And I think it's the pass pro thing, which is another thing that I think would make it really interesting if they started running more, you know, like outside zones and things, because you know what? You don't have to do as much when you're running an outside zone and doing a bootleg. You don't have to worry about pass protecting if you're a running back. Your job is to sell the fake and make the defense flow in one direction, and then you're basically out of the play at that point. You're out the gate. So I wonder if that might be part of it. But yeah, I do want to see them throw Ramondre Stevenson the football more, because I think, again, if you got a better you want to take the guys that, you know, in that running back room and say, who's got a better chance, the best chance of being a more complete pass-catching running back? It's definitely Stevenson, assuming that James White is going to start the season on the PUP list. And again, we barely saw him, and the little bit that we saw of him walking around out there was not terribly encouraging. It looks like he's still limping a little bit. Like, he doesn't look like he's fully recovered. That doesn't mean, like, he can't get into, like, a little bit better shape by the time the season starts, but it's going to be tough for him to start the year. I
just feel so bad for that guy. Like, his past year and a half has just been horrible with everything that happened with his family, and then that injury was just brutal.
Third game of the season last year. That New Orleans game was one to forget.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Right? That's the game where Jonnu Smith threw John the ball
the bump
to the other
set spike
team.
When he threw it to the other team.
Yes, indeed.
All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Oh, we will get to Jonnu Smith at some point.
I'll try to remember the contract stuff that our boy was talking about a second ago, because I do think that there is something to be said for them waiting to restructure contracts, but we're probably about to head into a break.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to Jonnu Smith. We'll get what changes do you want to see to the Patriots offense? 617-779-7937, the number right here on EEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.